Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us. A happy Monday. Do you know that many of our health, digestive, even mental health issues can be tied to leaky gut? Leaky gut is the root of many disease processes today, and even mental health issues can be tied to like leaky gut, and then also as well as autoimmune disease. Like, what's worse is that leaky gut can become a vicious cycle, as explained in a recent Instagram post by today's guest, Dr. Taylor Creek. And Dr. Taylor Creek is the owner of Washington Wellness Center in Illinois. He's a doctor of chiropractic, functional medicine practitioner, and the host of the Autoimmune Doc podcast. So we're going to discuss how leaky gut happens, what food might cause it, and how to deal with leaky gut symptoms. Thank you so much for taking the time joining
Yeah,
us.
sure. Hi, Jenna. How are you?
Good, good. I'm so glad we chatted multiple times and this is finally happening, so I'm so happy.
And I'm so sorry. Last time, I totally missed it. It was totally my fault. It was on my schedule. I just missed it. And so I left you hanging one time previously. So I was bound and determined to be here on time and prompt and ready today. And of course, my app needed updating. So.
It's all good. So tell us a little bit about your background, like how you became a functional medicine practitioner, and then what led you to lean towards, autoimmunity.
Yeah, sure. So I'm a chiropractor. My doctorate's in chiropractic, and I owned a chiropractic clinic. Sorry, we've got some construction going. I don't know if you can hear the hammering, but I owned a chiropractic clinic in Salt Lake City, and we started off right from the beginning doing nutrition and detox, and teaching people about eating and taking supplements and things like that. But as I just progressed, I slowly just transitioned doing more and more and more of that, and seeing just harder and more complex cases. And they really, the harder autoimmunity cases, the things that are kind of lifelong or really, people that have been to every doctor, they're on 15 meds, things like that, really perplexed me. And really, I'd study those and kind of, why are these people not getting better? And slowly just transitioned to that. And then that practice was ended up it won it was to awarded the best alternative medicine in the state of Utah. So I'm very proud of that. And that was kind of when we, it was our last year, and then we sold that practice and moved home. I also had three kids, and all my family's here, everybody's around the area. So we moved home and opened this clinic, and now we just do exclusively functional medicine. About half of my practice is here local and in Illinois and in person. And then about half is virtual and live and kind of across the country and so on.
That's wonderful. That's actually one of my questions later is, do you see patients virtually? Because with the wealth of knowledge you have and all the service you provide, and particularly on autoimmune, I'm sure a lot of people will want to see you, even if they're not like in your around your location.
Yeah. And we don't do any, I'm not in Illinois, I'm licensed. I can be a primary care provider, but it's more consultant, just helping people walk through their labs. A lot of the people that I see, they've got rheumatologists, they've got neurologists, they've got gastroenterologists, so on and so forth, endocrinologists, et cetera. And we always joke, they all send them back to the psychiatrist.
Oh,
But
no.
my goal is to just kind of help them navigate, the world of labs, the world of supplements, just kind of what's even out there. Even I think with something just letting people know that these options are out there, and that the literature, validates and justifies testing and some of the, alternative treatment or supportive modalities that are available, the science kind of supports it.
But also, your focus is much more holistically than someone, if they just go
Yeah.
to their endocrinologist, they only see endocrine system. If they go to a gastroenterologist, they only see the gut. But then all these things are totally interconnected. So with you there, then you can kind of help them to connect the
Exactly.
dots.
And say, hey, this is why, we need to look at your gut, and we need to look at your detox and your blood sugar and so on and so forth. So yeah.
That's amazing. You have like a really great quote on your website, which you said, you believe that autoimmune disease and many other conditions, it's like when people understand the mechanism behind it, then they will have like, once they understand the mechanism, then the solution becomes a lot more obvious.
Yeah.
So tell us about that. Like, why do you feel that way?
Yeah, I just think that, I don't know, I think that let's take like gluten, for example. When people understand the mechanism of how gluten can damage the gut and how the immune system reacts to them and how it can cross-react with different tissues, like thyroid tissue and cerebellar tissue. Like I had somebody in today, and when I explained this to her and drew it out for her, I bet you that she's going to give up gluten because now she understands the mechanism and how it could connect to her symptoms. And I also just go into this with people saying, hey, I kind of challenge you to say, hey, try this, but you know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't teach it to drink. So you kind of lay out, hey, this is what it could be driving as far as your anxiety or your thyroid. And then let people make their own decisions, and then they'll quit gluten. Or if you understand leaky gut, you know, like we're going to talk about, then you might take certain supplements, you might take probiotics, you might invest in a stool test, you might invest into a functional medicine practitioner, naturopath, or whatever the case is. So I think when you understand that all the little details of the mechanisms matter, and that's what makes up the big picture. And you don't want to, I always tell people, we start up here, we zoom in on all these little details, and you don't want to get stuck down there.
Right.
But then you zoom back out and say, how does this big picture, how do I make action steps based on this? And when you understand those fine details, then it's easier to make action steps with diet, supplements, labs, so on and so forth.
Yeah, and this is like particularly super important for people with like autoimmune conditions. So could you like, you know, explain autoimmunity to our viewers?
Absolutely. So autoimmunity is when your body's lost tolerance for itself. So it started to attack itself. And there's, you know, over 100 known autoimmune diseases, but there's probably, I would guess, close to 1,000 different autoimmune markers that are in the research and in the literature. There's all kinds of enzymes and different pathways, you know, neurologically they're now known that there can be antibodies against them. You know, even with, you know, something like long COVID, they know that there's just 100 of different antibodies that are elevated in some of those situations. So what the immune system has lost tolerance. So that means it's begun to attack a tissue. So I point here because the thyroid is an easy example. That's the most common autoimmune condition. And the immune system is producing antibodies, which is causing the immune system to attack that as if it were something foreign, as if it were something invading. And that causes inflammation, that causes damage, and that's kind of the mechanism. So if it's attacking the thyroid, it's Hashimoto's or it's Graves. If it's attacking the joints, it might be rheumatoid arthritis or, you know, mixed connective tissue disease. Or if it's attacking the brain, it might be MS. Or we now know that Alzheimer's, Parkinson's have autoimmune components to them. And that we now know that a lot of conditions, whether they're an autoimmune disease or not, like let's say depression or anxiety, there's autoimmune components, or there's literature to show that there's a correlate with the autoimmunity attacking certain functional things, causing the constellation of symptoms that's then diagnoses anxiety. So
right.
That's kind of autoimmune in a nutshell. And the gut is an important gateway for things to get into the immune system and kind of, I don't know, inflame it or act it up, or it says, hey, what are you kind of doing here? Or it sees something all the time, like let's say it's gluten, and it just sees it all the time. And it's, I always use the metaphor, Jenna, like in a small town, if somebody's driving around all the time, the cops are like, what? Cops are like, who is that person? And they kind of recognize and remember. Whereas in a big city, it's like, you know, you blend in, they don't know you from anybody else. But in a small town, the more often they see you, they're more likely to just catch on and say, what is that person doing? And then if you're doing something bad, they're more likely to find you. And then with even to go on with that metaphor a little bit with gluten closely resembles thyroid and cerebellar tissue, like we mentioned. And that's kind of like, let's say I drive a blue F-150 truck. There's a lot of blue F-150s on the road. So let's say the cops pulled me over because they were looking for somebody else with a blue F-150. That's when the immune system has recognized something like gluten is bad because it got in through a leaky gut. Then the immune system is looking for it and they accidentally attack thyroid or they attack brain because they've recognized gluten. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
And the gut's like a barrier.
Yeah.
What?
So in my introduction, I kind of mentioned leaky gut is like you can become this vicious cycle and how leaky gut is also like the root of many of these autoimmune conditions that you just mentioned. So I was just going to say, can you like give us a quick intro, high-level intro to what is leaky gut, and then how does that link to autoimmune conditions?
Absolutely. Well, that, I think that's what I just went over, like how leaky conditions, but let's go in a little deeper. There's various levels of leaky gut. So I've heard it said that if you have a vowel in your name, you have a leaky gut. So that, but everybody's gut is selectively permeable. You know, if we go out to the bar tonight and drink, then we're going to have a leaky gut. And if you get a flu, you're going to get a leaky gut, and your gut, opens up, lets a bunch of water in to flush out pathogens, and you might get diarrhea or upset stomach or something. And so the gut is always selectively permeable. But when you get a pathological leaky gut, then it's more leaky all the time. And in fact, I knew because we were on Instagram, I pulled this out. Let's see if we can even see it. But I use a lot of graphics and images. When I'm virtual with somebody, I'll screen share with them. I do a lot of drawings. When I'm in person, I use these laminates. But this, a little bit of swell, but this is a spectrum of leaky gut that says normal permeability. And then you get tolerance. But as you go on, you get a minor defect, and then that might lead to food allergy. It might lead to tolerance. Then you get more permeability. It's going to lead to a vicious cycle of inflammation. Then you get a massive influx, which is like gut destruction. So over time, your gut progresses. I think that's an important for any condition, that it's a spectrum of everybody's on the spectrum. But how far down the spectrum are you doing, and are you? And are the things you're doing, are they moving you to a worse leaky gut, or are they moving you to a better leaky gut? So you're always on the spectrum somewhere, but which direction are you heading? I think that's important to know, that there's varying degrees. There's varying tests for leaky gut too. But again, everybody kind of has it. But how do you know how bad it is, or what severity level, or if it's contributing to your symptoms? And I think that the answer is yes to that question. But how big of a priority is it, you know, as long with deeps and other mechanisms, you know, the gut liver axis, which I know you guys talked about recently, you know, all the other things. But the guts, often too, let's say somebody's a beginner practitioner, whether they're a health coach or anything else, the gut's just a great place to start for anything, you know. And usually you're going to find things if you're doing gut testing. It's never perfect, so you're going to find things, but I think that as you get more skill as a practitioner, it's like, how do you do things in the right order to get the big impact? So gut's just obviously really important. I used to think, there's a saying in functional medicine that, like, start with the gut. And I used to think that was just too cookie cutter. And I still think that. But so I try to think open-minded and unbiased, but it's so often it just still comes back to the gut. You know, somebody comes in with hormones and they come in, you know, brain fog or whatever the case is.
I also think, like, many times your gut is like almost like the fastest to react. And then if you actually have a symptom, that you would turn faster to like start addressing it, versus, you know, if you just have brain fog, you could be thinking, okay, this is my hormone, I didn't sleep well. There's like so many other things.
And it's so common that somebody, like, they might poop every day and not have gas, not have constipation, diarrhea, bloating, reflux. And they're like, okay, their gut's fine. But if you skip over that, and then maybe they're not responding the way you'd hope, and then you're like, okay, let's go back to the gut, and then all of a sudden everything starts falling into place. It's like, oh, we should have done the gut first anyway. So that's very, very common. But it doesn't even have a symptom, but it's still related to something outside of just a digestive complaint. The digestive ones are obvious, that there's gut problems. If you get constipation, diarrhea, bloating, reflux, you know, there's something going on in the gut. But the brain fog, anxiety, joint pain, other symptoms is a little more hard to figure out, I think.
Yeah. Could you give us a high-level explanation how our digestive system actually, like, protect us from autoimmune, like, responses?
Yeah. So there's another image that I often will show. It's an image about vitamin D, but it just shows, like, there's a protective microbiome. So you're good bacteria, you know, we have 10 pounds of bacteria in our gut. And so, you know, not all that's good bacteria, some of that's bad bacteria, that's normal, you know. It says about 80-20 good bacteria to bad, but the microbiome is probably the most important thing. And you want that in the large intestine, in the colon, and not really in the small intestine. There's very few bacteria in the small intestine, but that's where a lot of absorption is done. But Then there's mucus, mucus layer. And then there's a secretory immune system, a mucosal immune system. I think that's really actually important to talk about real quick, is that that immune system, that's the secretory IgA immune system, is completely different than your blood immune system and your systemic immune system. So even when you do a food sensitivity test, you're generally checking IgG in the blood, which is systemic. And that's a sign that has gotten through the gut and is in the bloodstream. Whereas in the mucosal immune system, IgA acts against even things like strep throat or sinus infections, anything that's mucus producing. There's a whole separate mucosal immune system, really, really important. So when you lose kind of mucosal tolerance, then you could begin to get GI inflammation and things, and then you start to lose that gut barrier integrity. And that's the picture I just showed of, like, you lose that gut barrier integrity. Go down the cycle. And then there's various ways to measure that. But the more you've lost that integrity, the more stuff is getting in. So also, you may have heard it said that if you see somebody with a food sensitivity test that's just like really blown out, like just a ton of bad positives, then that's just a sign that they have leaky gut. I think that that's true to a degree, but it's also a sign that they've lost oral tolerance. So if your body's just completely lost oral tolerance, we do a test sometimes that has 180 foods on it, and somebody might show up with 100 of them. And it's hard to do an elimination diet of cut out these 100 foods, these 80, when it's like obscure, weird things sometimes too. And what we do is pick the biggest 10 and aim at the biggest 10 while focusing on some. And, if we met months down the road, then all of a sudden they're reactive to 5 foods, and we can kind of narrow down. But as you heal the gut, it becomes less reactive, and then that closes that open door for autoimmunity or inflammation. The other thing with that too is when the gut's inflamed, there's other things that it shuts down the vagus nerve, and gut inflammation just leads to systemic inflammation and neuroinflammation, and then a gut on fire leads to a brain on fire. Leaky gut equals brain, and then a brain on fire can lead to everything else on fire. It's all, both of those are kind of central to everything else. But I know that's, we started kind of high level and now we're going kind of big picture, but that's all true how important gut health is.
But it's so important for people to start early, like when they even have these subcutaneous kind of like symptoms, they need to start addressing it rather than wait until, okay, it gets into the blood, getting the second level, that you're like kind of like moving to the bad direction of that spectrum.
Yeah. I think that anytime you feel a shift in the negative direction, then that's the time to say, okay, what am I doing that's shifting me, and shift back. And, the goal is to never really progress into like an unhappy state of that spectrum. So many people, they get miserable because it just slowly chipped away and it got a little worse and a little worse and a little worse. And so as you start to feel that happen, pull back. I see a lot of people too that I give them grace on their diet, as far as like, people are humans and they, Christmas just ended, and I say, hey, it's up to you. The motivation is up to you, but you feel that you're shifting this way, and if you're in the unhappy land, then that's a sign that you need to kind of clean it up, and you need to get rid of gluten, get rid of grains, get rid of dairy. It's kind of the foundational things. Because if you get rid of some of those bigger things, then you don't have to worry about histamine foods or FODMAPs or lectins or nightshades. Those are when the gut gets even more inflamed, I think. So often just aiming at the biggest, rocks in the bucket, that you don't have to worry about the smaller pebbles that are kind of filling it also.
Right. So what are some initial symptoms that people should look out for when they suspect they have leaky gut?
Well, digestive symptoms, first off, that's the first sign. But then I think, fill in the blank next with anything else. But, I think of hormone imbalances. Let's talk about maybe some that even people might not think about, that aren't, if you're rushing to the bathroom all the time with diarrhea, you're going to have gut issues. Mm-hmm. I think you probably know that, and you've probably been told you have IBS and things like that. Now, do you have IBD or anything like that? That's a whole nother ballgame. But, or if you have constipation, if you have, 4 bowel movements a week or something like that, then you've got gut issues, it might be gut brain. But I think some of the things that people don't think of, hormone imbalance is probably number one. I think personally, there's other opinions on this for sure, but I think hormones are strictly an effect, not a cause. I think that something causes the hormones to get out of whack. Now, if we go look on labs, can estrogen be off? Can your progesterone be off? Can your thyroid, certainly, of course, your thyroid be off? Absolutely. But then what, why is it off? And I think toxins and gut health, toxins and gut health. That's what we always come back to, is toxins and gut health. But anyway, I forgot what you even asked me, Jenna, but I think that that is, I think that both of those are always root causes that, oh yeah, oh gosh, geez. But
Symptoms.
brain fog, hormones, yeah, was that maybe a brain fog? Maybe that was the perfect time. Maybe that was not a coincidence. But no, brain fog, I literally just spaced that for a second. I think that was my brain fog, but I don't really get that ever. But issues, blood sugar issues, adrenal issues, even if you know you have adrenal symptoms, like you have a hard time getting out of bed in the morning, you have a hard time, you don't sleep very well, you have an afternoon slump, support the adrenals, absolutely, but also look to gut health. I also think even blood sugar, you have diabetes or something, just look to gut health. I'm not saying as a treatment, but I'm saying as a supportive thing. You can eat, let's say it's blood sugar also. Let's say somebody's diabetic and they want to do keto, but they're eating a bunch of processed crap keto food. It's not going to work out for them, even though their blood sugar might be lowered. Their overall inflammatory tone and things is going to be heightened from the processed nature of the food, or if it's high dairy and things like that, and they've got a reactivity or sensitivity to that, that's generally going to be not moving them in the right direction overall. Might help their blood sugar, but won't help overall with their diabetes process.
I think this was all really important for people not to just always ask Dr. Google, but actually see a practitioner with the breadth knowledge and somebody who can really help them connect the dots to have a plan. Like you mentioned, like the experienced practitioner will let you know like when where to start and then what's the most effective thing to start.
Yeah. And I think too, I agree with you completely to not ask Dr. Google, but I also think that today, if you're going to ask, keep asking, because you know what I mean? And like, just don't ask one, say, hey, this is what I have, or this is what I read. Like, get a bunch of different opinions, because if you, I tell patients all the time, if you read every autoimmune book that's out there, they're all saying the same thing. We're all saying the same thing. And it's watch out for toxins, optimize your gut health, decrease your stress, the big picture of things. Every single autoimmune specialist is kind of saying all those things, big picture. But yeah, and I think that again, with our channels and things like that, I'm starting to see this wave of really experienced people that have watched, Instagram lives like this, and like a dozen of them, or they've read all the books and they've listened to all the podcasts, and they've got a bunch of labs. So they come to me with all these puzzle pieces, which I love. And they're really knowledgeable and really sharp. And I'm like, oh, this is why these pieces weren't fitting together for you. Here's how we can kind of fit them together. And let's start with here and let's get these. And then all of a sudden they start clicking. And then, we can keep that going. So I really enjoy, even educating people through my podcast, through Instagram, et cetera. Because, and I tell people too, sometimes they followed me for like a year before they come in. I'm like, good. And sometimes I have phone calls with people. I'm like, hey, if you're not ready, just keep following, keep following channels like yours, keep following other people, keep reading books, and just the time will be right at some point. So I think there is this new wave. But yeah, I completely agree. Don't ask Dr. Google, and don't self-diagnose, and just think like this is how, think mechanistically. Like going back to that quote on my website, when you understand the mechanisms of like, oh, this leads to this leads to this leads to this. Then you kind of have some things to work with and have some action steps just out of that.
So you mentioned like some like big food categories, right? Like gluten, dairy, and then what are the like what are other foods that people should eat to like help reverse leaky gut if they suspect and their symptoms are not like super severe?
I think the well, I think that the one of the biggest ones, in the research is fiber. Now, I know that, a lot of people. Those guts react negatively to fiber, and I think that a lot of people are having success even going a carnivore direction. So they're kind of in the plant-based camp and the animal-based camp. I'm in neither camp. I'm kind of like I think that both can shift the microbiome in a positive direction from depending on where you're at. But fiber helps fuel microbiome growth, helps fuel tight junctions through short-chain fatty acid production and things like that. But I think that it's real food, and I think that. And beyond that, it's more about what you don't eat. If you're going to eat clean meat, because you're not eating, you know, clean meat to our ancestors was just called meat, right? And like, you got to eat the special kind of meat that's just raised naturally and normally. And it's more about what you're not getting in the other stuff with the booze and the pesticides and the, you know, a grain fed diet and things like that. So I think it's more about what you don't eat, but, you know, just a healthy, I would say paleo is just a great search term. So I always tell people, you know, paleo is a great search term because it's going to be gluten-free, grain-free, dairy-free. If you don't follow paleo diet, you know, every day of the month, I don't think that's the end of the world for some people. You know, a lot of people that I'll tell them, hey, you need to be paleo and maybe even stricter. I also have a concept that I created just based on, you know, again, everybody else's work, but it's called the 10 steps of autoimmune eating.
Oh, okay.
And the point,
okay, please.
Yeah, it's the point is that you don't always have to be at step number 10. And step number 10 is like lectin-free, kind of AIP, like full-blown AIP diet. If you're in a place where your autoimmunity is clearing, you're miserable with your symptoms, you need to go probably step 8, 9, 10, you know, be restrictive. But if you're happy with where you're at, come down and, you know, you can have a minimum standard, like step 4, I think, is maybe gluten. So maybe step 4 is like your minimum standard. You never go below that. Mm-hmm. Step 5 might be dairy. Step 6 might be other grains. Step 7, I think, is eggs. And all the things that are part of an elimination diet, but an AIP would be the full blown. There's different elimination diets that we use. I use AIP. I use the Institute for Functional Medicine's elimination diet. So there's different, you don't always have to stay at the same point. It's kind of depending on your motivation, your symptoms, and kind of where you're at that time.
Right. So it has to be personalized. And I also like what you mentioned about another aspect, kind of paleo and these is, way less, like almost not processed food.
Exactly.
It's like processed food is another where, you know, you get a lot of toxins. Like one of our, you know, recommendation when people use our DTEC and detox kit is like, okay, eat out less and eat like packaged food because there's just a ton of toxins in those.
Exactly. And so I think paleo is a safe search term because, yeah, like you said, it's real food. It's real food, and then it's gluten-free, grain-free, dairy-free. And those aren't necessarily problems for everybody, but you're never really going to go wrong eliminating those from your meals.
Right. Wow. Thank you for all this information. So tell us, what does a session with you look like?
A lot like this Instagram Live. We go back back fire. I show different graphics and images, and there's a lot of education. Mm-hmm. But it leaves off with here's our action steps and here's our next steps. And then also I think that a unique part about my, you know, services are that I use my YouTube and my podcast and stuff for to build somebody like a customized curriculum for them. So let's say we're looking for a leaky gut. Well, I have a video called What Kind of Leaky Gut Do You Have? So let somebody comes in and I'm recommending this test from Cyrex to look at leaky gut. And I might send them this video, or I might send them a different video about, you know, something else that I think they have about mast cell activation, about, you know, mold toxicity, about, you know, hey, your stress is your biggest issue. Here's a video about stress and the mechanisms, you know, the mechanisms behind stress and GABA and cortisol and adrenaline and sleep issues and blood sugar and, you know, all the things. And then we follow up, you know, a month later and say, okay, how's it going? What's improving? What's not improving? So I always liken it to a golf lesson, and because I've taken golf lessons, so it's just the same as any lesson, I guess. But when I come to a golf lesson, I grab a club and I start swinging, and my coach is looking at how is it going, what's working, what's not working, and did the things that we talked about last time, did they sit in, or do we need to redo those again? And if he sees good things, then he's going to move on to the next lesson. And if he doesn't, then he's going to say, stop. Okay, let's do this. Remember how we did this? We're still doing this. And then at the end, he might say, hey, here's what I want you to do between now and the next time that I see you. And that's what we do too, is like kind of jump around and you know, show graphics, images, do education, say, okay, when you get a headache at that time of the month, that's because of this mechanism. And that's a sign that we need to support this. So try this with our supplements. And next month, we're going to circle back and people will say, hey, my energy was better. My menstrual cycle was better. My headaches are gone. My clarity is better. And then I always tell people, let's say you came in with, you had 10 symptoms that we're working on and 7 of them got better and 3 of them didn't. Well, awesome. High five about the 7, but the 3 that didn't, it's like, boom, let's talk about those. When did they happen? what's working, what's not working, what, and you know, as long as we can maintain those seven that got better, we just keep focusing on the weak spots and everything tends to get better over time. So anyway, my sessions, we do 3-visit and 6-visit packages, and it starts with a new visit, new patient visit. It's 90 minutes of history and extensive paperwork and looking at your labs. And then I give recommendations of the labs that I want to see or would suggest. You could pick and choose, you know, you don't have to do everything, but we'll give recommendations. And then I do short-term 3-visit and 6-visit care plans. And then we send supplements, we send lab test kits. We kind of handle all that in-house. And yeah, it's super fun.
It's amazing. I know you have like great content on both the YouTube channel as well as your podcast. And then it's not, I think it's not only good for your patient, but anybody else who's trying to understand these topics. And when I watched your YouTube video on plastic, I was like, whoa, this is pretty awesome. It's really comprehensive and it's also extremely tangible and actionable. So everybody can just like start taking action by watching your video, which is awesome.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that so much. And that fuel's going to keep making it because my practice is busy and it's not driven by Instagram or YouTube or you know, I started doing those things just to educate my patients and educate the community and the population. But it's absolutely like, I think that it's a great thing about my business is that the more that I educate people, the more they realize, like it helps a lot of people beyond in my practice, but the people that want to hear more, they're like, hey, let me check this out. So it builds my practice too. It makes us more busy. So it's really fulfilling to, you know, put that information out there for free and just help anybody that could use it.
That's amazing. Thank you so much for what you do.
You too. So I commend you for doing these lives and you're the one that instigated this. So great job to you because you're educating a community also, and it's just really helpful. So
totally aligned. So thank you so much for everything you do. And thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
And I see we have like so many audiences too. And I encourage everyone to follow Dr. Creek at autoimmune doc. And then check out Dr. Creek's YouTube channel and podcast. So we'll have all the stuff in the LinkedIn bio as well.
Yeah, so I was going to say, if you're on Instagram, obviously just click our link tree and check out anything. But thank you, Jen. Thanks for having me on.
No, thank you so much. Chat to you soon, then.
All right. Thanks.
Bye. Bye.